can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down, sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock.
Republic Broadcasting Network, this is Talk with John. Thank you for joining me. Saturdays from 3 to 5 Mountain Time, 4 to 6 Central, you can join me here on Talk with John on Republic Broadcasting Network. It's going to be great having you this first hour. I've got a special guest, so I won't be taking calls. But in the second hour, I really look forward to talking to you folks. It will be the first time that we've chatted in over a week, so I'm looking forward to any conversations that I can have with you. And I want to say thank you to Roger Landry, who is joining me. Talk with John 1, that's talk with, so my Twitter handle is Talk with John 1, that's Talk with J-O-N 1. There's a few of you that have reached out to me and even interacted with me during the show. Happy to take those interactions and look forward to it. So the reason why I was not here on the air, let me do this. I want to first say thank you to Sam, and I also want to say thank you to Roger. Sam, our producer, I often do not remember to thank him while we're on air. He is what allows us to make this happen. It's so much easier than doing the producing and the call answering and trying to be a show host at the same time. Trust me, I do that 2 days a week. And it's a lot easier. So let me introduce Roger Landry with the Liberty Beacon and TLB Talk. Thank you so much for joining me, and thank you for taking over my show and doing a fantastic show last week.
Well, I can tell you that I may have filled in for you, but I don't think my shoes are big enough to take over for you.
Well, I wear a size 13, so maybe not.
No, I wear a size 9.
So, but yes, I can't invite you too often to fill in for me, because then they'll go, you know what? We like Roger better. So.
Oh, that's not true.
But, Roger, I want to say thank you for filling in for me. And as you shared kind of briefly with the audience, that I was at a convention. Now, it's not like it was a normal convention, what you might think of a home and garden show or something along those lines. I don't know if you think this very often, but I think this probably several times a month. I wish I could ask John his thoughts on some type of thought process.
Yes.
And especially with him being the founder and, you know, former owner of the Republic Broadcasting Network, I would have liked to have said, hey, John, I was nominated to be a state delegate for the state of Utah by my precinct, the Republican Party precinct. We had a caucus night back in the beginning of March, And the duty for doing that and accepting that was I had to be gone for a weekend. And actually, I think I missed part of at least one show, if not two, meeting delegates. So how does that and I would have liked to have shared with them. I think in general, it will long term, it could be a good help for the show. So I've been able to speak face to face with Mike Lee. And spend quite a bit of time talking to him. Mike Lee, many of you may or may not know, is a senator from the state of Utah. Not the scoundrel, dirty, rotten scumbag. Well, okay, maybe that's dirty, rotten scumbag. Well, yeah, no. I do not like him. Romney, I do not like him. I literally think he's what worse than Chuck Schumer. John, why do you say he's worse than Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi? Because at least those two individuals and Joe Bob, he is worse than all three of those, and maybe all three of them combined. John, how dare you say that? His voting record isn't quite as unconservative as theirs. Well, you know what? I respect someone. I can tolerate someone a lot better when they come out saying what they really are. Nancy Pelosi, AOC, Joe Bob, and Chuck Schumer make no bones and do not hide that they are Democrats. Joe Bob, I even think he's not a super true progressive. It's just that the mainstream Democrat has become extremely progressive. If the Democrat Party wasn't so progressive, wasn't so liberal, wasn't so quite out of their minds crazy, Joe Bob wouldn't be supporting those policies. But
can I ask you a question?
Romney is worse than all of them.
I agree. Can I ask you a question?
Fire away.
Do you, because I can't come up with the answer to this. Can you tell me when the parties did a flip-flop? Can you tell me, because when I was growing up, the Republican Party was the party of big business. The Republican Party was the business party. The Republican Party was the money party. And the Democrats were for we the people. They were for the average American. They were for the worker bee. They were for the unions. They were for right. The little guy on the street. Today, you take a look at this. Tell me where I'm wrong. The Democrats, the progressives, do the bidding of global businesses while the conservatives are saying we the people need to stick together before this all goes down the toilet. When did the flip-flop happen?
I don't think it has.
Well, it sure looks like it to a lot of people.
Okay, so at the top, there are still two wings of the same bird of prey.
Of course.
And who's the prey? It's you and I.
You and I.
I've said this before, and I think I've said this with you. Who benefited most? Who was the biggest benefiter of January 6th and Trump not being put back into office? Mitch McConnell.
It was the rhinos that benefited the most.
Romney.
The rhinos, yep.
Those. And they are very much, I still would say Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, definitely Mitt Romney, are still very much like they used to be, big business. And are you know, Mitt Romney's went and took a knee for Black Lives Matter. He still believes in progressive politics. He still believes in, he supported the new Supreme Court justice we've got. But when you get past that level to the
Mike
Lees, they are very much the nationalism, right? They are all for nationalism. At least that's how they talk. And I think many of them vote that way. And I think many of them believe it. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you, and I alluded to some of this on your show last week. I'm going to tell you right now that what we are looking at is not what Romney thinks. What we are looking at is not what Chuck Schumer thinks and Nancy Pelosi thinks or Lindsey Graham thinks or any of them. We are not looking at what they think. We haven't been looking at what they think for a very long time. Politics was never intended to be a career. It was supposed to be short-term representation for the people who you lived. If you were a farmer, you went in and you represented the farmers in your community. Okay? This is what politics was originally intended. When you have politicians who spend 20, 30, 40 years plus in there and they know they're going to get reelected regardless of how many stupid things they do or how many times they actually vote against what the people who elected them and sent them there for is in their best interest, they always have an explanation for that. The reason all of this is happening is because they are all bought and paid for. By the time you've got 15 years or 20 years in Congress or in the Senate, you know for a fact you're going to be reelected. You know for a fact who supports you. You know for a fact where the money for your campaign's coming from. And you no longer work for the people. And anybody that thinks you do is a moron. They're not doing their homework. These people are bought and paid for. And this is why we see the chaos that has been building over the last 20 years in America. Why? Because these people are the same people who keep going there year after year, re-election after re-election, whether the people in their district are tired of them or not, they win resoundingly. Why? They don't change the voting machines after the presidential election. The same rigging that's done for a presidential election is done for a congressional election or a senatorial election or a gubernatorial election. This all falls in the same scenario. These people who have been there, everybody you've named, everybody I've named, they literally live in Congress or the Senate. They are bought and paid for. That's a fact.
Okay, so Orrin Hatch, I don't know if you heard, I don't know if this was big news in the rest of the country, but Orrin Hatch, the senator for Utah, he was in the Senate longer than I was, I believe, longer than I was alive. If it wasn't, he got in there like the year that I, or within the first 2 years of my life. Orrin Hatch was in the Senate as long as I remember, right up until 4 years ago. He just passed away. Orrin Hatch, when he first went in, was very conservative. By the time I was aware of his politics, I knew that man needed to be voted out of office because, hey, at Ted Kennedy's funeral, they made jokes at Orrin Hatch's, defaming him almost. Maybe not defaming him, but they said Ted was really good at getting Republicans like Orrin Hatch to always move over to his policies, but he never went over to their side with the things that he would move. Orrin Hatch liked to use, oh, I get along with everybody in Congress. That's a problem.
Yeah.
And so I think that that has been there for many years. I just think that why we're seeing this more is because they have more control of the thought process and the heart of the public. So that is my opinion, is kind of why that flip has happened. And they're able to count. So the Republicans have always been like the mean people, right? The not nice people. The Republicans have always been couched as that, even pretty much as racist, basically.
They still are, yes.
Yeah, they've been couched definitely since the 40s that way. So
hold on. But you, a lot of people do consider the Republican Party to be a party of racist individuals. What most people don't understand, because they've never done the history, is that the Democrats were the party of slavery. The Democrats were the party of ultimate racism in this country. And again, we're talking about something that has...
The party of the KKK.
We're talking about something that has flipped in perception again. So this is the second time I'm going to ask you, I'm not looking for an answer because you've already answered it. I'm going to ask you, when the heck did this flip happen? When did the Democrats start acting like Republicans and Republicans start acting like true Democrats, which is a true progressive party? Progressive doesn't necessarily mean Democrat, although it's being assigned. It's a label being assigned right to Democrats. That's bullcrap. Okay. But again, we see a flip-flop. Now, all of a sudden, it's the Republicans that are the party of racism, when in fact, racism originated with the Democratic Party.
So I'm going to say that the perception, when I really noticed that this was starting to shift, was about 2016, maybe even a little bit before then. I'm trying to remember the former congressman, the black drifter who would go after businesses, Reverend Sharpton, I believe it was.
Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton likes to go into businesses and say, so me and the rest of my group are going to come out and say you guys are complete racists unless you donate millions of dollars to
our... We're going to boycott you. Yep.
We're going to come out, we're going to boycott you, and we're going to label you. Yep. I don't think a business cares about the boycott. They're not that. They're not fearful of that. What they are fearful of is being labeled racist.
Yes.
And you know what? I admit it. Up until about 3 years ago, I really was concerned if someone would even hint at the fact that I might be racist. Now, I like to say, it's never been a better time to be a racist. And if you want to call me a racist, that's what you think. That's fine.
Okay,
that's okay,
but a lot of this boils down to, again, and I sent you a message on who Tom D is. Let's discuss something real quick here, okay? And that's the term liberalism. If you stop to consider what a true liberal is, it is what each and every American should want every one of their politicians to be, whether they live in a red state or a blue state. What is being assigned, or those that are being assigned the term liberals today, is nothing like what the original liberals were. Okay,
Thomas Jefferson.
You take a look at Thomas Jefferson, he was the ultimate liberal. You take a look at Washington, he was a liberal. But today, if you're a liberal, you are a Democrat. You're blue. And you are stabbing this country in the back over and over and over again. And when the vast majority of the country is saying, we don't want to have anything to do with this, you're flipping them the bird and doubling down. That's what they're calling a progressive today. I need to tell everybody out there, go look up the term progressive. Do a little bit of studying in your history books. And what you're going to find out is if any of these politicians were true liberals, you'd love them.
Amen. Should we bring on Tom D? We've been making him wait 8 minutes.
Tom is great people. He is.
Tom, please join the conversation.
Yes, I'm here.
What promoted you to call? I mean, I don't get the pleasure of having you call into my show on a regular basis, so I just got to know, what promoted you to call?
Well, I just wanted to say hello because I haven't talked to you before, and I knew I heard Roger picked up, so joined your conversation, and I just thought I would say hello and, you know, let you know that we appreciate you being a host on here and doing a great job. You know, Sam likes you a lot and appreciates your shows, and everybody else does too. So, and wanted to thank Roger for, you know, being a partner with RBN, you know, since John passed away, and I've kind of had to help keep the train on the tracks here and make it go faster. I've been, you know, just doing anything I can to help. So,
Tom is the administrator of TLV Project and the administrator of RBN. He's great people. Listen up.
Let's bring Tom back on the other side of this break. I do want to chat with him real quick on the other side. So, this is Talk with John on Republic Broadcasting Network. I have Roger Landry and Tom D joining me right now. We're going to be talking to you on the other side of this break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Talk with John. Right now, I am here joining you, and I've got Roger Landry with us, and Tom D is out driving across, well, these Texas. United States. Oh, I don't know that we want, but yeah, he did say Texas. So
it's Tom, a big state. So
hopefully,
yeah.
Hopefully, you're okay with us mentioning that you were driving around in Texas, because. So when I was a Truckama driver many, many, many years ago, I was I drive the western region. I drove most of the country, but at least hit it once. But I drove the west mostly, and Texas was one of the areas that I drove a fair amount. And when I went across, I believe it was Highway 10, I could not drive across the entire state in one day. Now, my truck was regulated to 63 miles an hour, but I could not drive across the entire state in one day. So Tom, you know, called in, said to thank Roger for joining on, and he was absolutely correct. Roger does a fantastic show. You do your show Saturdays at noon Central Time, 11 Mountain Time, and it's a fantastic show. I don't miss it. I look forward
There's
to it.
There's a new one.
It is a new one.
No. There is a new show.
Really?
Yes, and it's not on RBN. I won't even mention the network, but it is called Eagle Eye Report, and it will be, and that will premiere this coming Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central, 4 to 5 p.m.
Wow. So yeah. You're all over the place now.
You told me that you were a trucker, and you drove around the country. And yeah. Nobody has more, I don't know, empathy than me for somebody who's covered a good deal of the country. Now, everybody here knows, especially you, John, and everybody else knows that Roger doesn't blow smoke. If I tell you something, it's something I can back up. It's the truth. I was never a truck driver, but let me tell you, due to what I did for a living, so on and so forth, and the fact that I was in the service, where I have lived. I have lived in New Hampshire. I have lived in Rhode Island. I have lived in Massachusetts. I have lived in Virginia. I have lived in Florida. I have lived in Hawaii. I have lived in Texas. And I have lived in California. And I have lived in Mississippi. And I have lived in Ohio. Do you think I've been around the country?
Probably been around the block a few times.
Plus, I spent 30 years traveling the globe with over 1 million air miles under my belt.
And how many miles under the ocean?
There's a lot of miles on the ocean. There's
and what was the top speed that your subs were able to go to?
Subs can go without breaking into anything that's classified. They can exceed 30 knots.
Dang it! I was trying to swindle you into that, but
you're
a smart man. You're a smart man.
I did it for 30 years, and you learn what you can say and what you can't say. And look, the last time I worked for Raytheon, and that was the company I worked for, and I did exclusively DOD contracts, Department of Defense contracts. So I was basically working for the government. But the last time I worked for them was in the year 2000, which was 22 years ago. And you would think that anything I would have to say today would be declassified, and you would be wrong. There are certain things, because of what I did while I was in the military, that I can't talk about even if I live to be 105. So when you say what's the fastest they can go, some of the submarines, which are quite good to this day, were manufactured and put in the water in the late 1990s, 1995 through the year 2000, and they are still out there running around. They're being modernized regularly, and their top speed is pretty much the same, because the one thing they don't change is the steam reactors, or the reactors in the steam turbines. So if it could do, say, and this is a fictitious figure, and I'm going low on purpose, if they could do 25 knots 22 years ago, they could do 25 knots today. So there are just certain things you qualify. I can tell you they can do at least 30 knots, but I can't tell you how fast they can actually go.
Okay. Well, hopefully
or how
I get
deep
it.
They can actually go. I can tell you they can go to 1,000 feet, but I can't tell you how deep they can actually go.
Someday I hope to find out those numbers. That'd be kind of cool. It's kind of like I want to know the SR-71 Blackbird. I want to know its actual top speed.
I spent 8 years in the nuclear submarine fleet, actually in the Navy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those are two numbers that I want. How deep, how fast,
and then how fast and how deep.
How fast up above in the air, right? Okay, so Todd brought up an interesting point. He said, I don't see how people can believe that we really have food shortages. And so what came to my mind is it is really easy to convince someone that all they've ever lived is in Chicago, or all they've ever lived in is in New York. And I would say even – so one thing that I noticed a lot across the eastern coastline and the west coast – there were cities would last for hours, basically. You know, the city would last for hours in California. It would take an hour or two to get through a city.
City in the suburbs, yes.
If you include the suburbs. I'll finish that thought on the other side.
The truth. You can't handle the truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Republic Broadcasting Network, this is Talk with John. I've got Roger Landry of TLB Talk joining me. We're going to talk a little bit about TLB Talk towards the end of this hour. But so I was saying one thing, there's two groups of people that really don't believe that we are overpopulated. A group of people in general, there may be one or two that do, but pilots do not believe the world is overpopulated.
It isn't.
And another group of people that don't believe that, and I really think that if we could get the people in the inner city to drive truck nationally, I often thought, I wish I could get, you know, you run into a little bit of issues, but if I could have gotten a young man 12 years old to just come with me for a week and drive some inner city kid, maybe even a 10-year-old, so he could see, I mean, most boys, when they see big rigs and they're around the operation of them, most of them think they're pretty cool. I've yet to come across
yes.
Doesn't think a big rig isn't cool. And to go out for a week, they could see, I've talked to a number of people that grew up in the inner city, and they go, they had no clue, you know, they never left 5 miles, 10 miles within their, you know, they never left the city. So they had no idea what the rest of the country looked like. And I think
Absolutely.
It would blow their minds, and I think it would be very good for them.
Can I tell you something that will jump right into what you're talking about right now?
Please do.
And it's very short. I want everybody to think about this. You take a landmass the size of Australia, and you don't even need a landmass that big. It could actually be quite a bit smaller, but we'll use Australia. You take Australia, which is one place, and it's not a very big place, although it is a big one of the biggest islands on the planet. You take Australia, you can put every living human being in Australia, give them all a home with a couple of acres to grow food, so on and so forth, and leave the rest of the entire planet barren of any living human beings. That's how not overpopulated we are.
I want to say it's somewhere in the neighborhood of like a quarter acre. Every human being could fit in the state of Texas.
Yeah, that's why like I used Australia in a couple of acres.
Yeah, you said a couple of acres. So, yeah. I mean, no, we are not overpopulated. Now, our food and what's happening with it, you know, it's been interesting. We have planes flying into food plants. Now, Joel Skousen thinks one of those planes, probably it was a true situation where it was an accident because there were two people in the plane. He goes, just kind of looking at it, being a pilot himself, he kind of thinks it might be real. But it's like 22 of these food plants have either completely burned or they are unusable. And when I was telling this to my kids last week, I was like, they're like, well, I go, I guarantee you there haven't been that many fires ever in our history. One, so here's the other thing that happens with that food plant. A lot of these food plants, it shuts them down artificially, but there's some other ones where supplies were going to be maybe like in the meat plants that might be having a hard time getting to them.
Yep.
They get to shut down the plant. The businesses get paid money. They get from insurance. They don't have to make payments. They don't have to worry about making the payment on the building because the insurance is taking care of that. And the top people are being paid because they've got insurance policies on that. I guarantee you.
It goes deeper than that. What you've done is you've scratched the surface, and I think you do that on purpose because I'm your guest. And you know that I'm just itching to dive in and say something about this. So let me tell you how deep this actually goes. When you have farmers out there who are being paid to literally plow their crops under, and they're getting paid 60% more than the market value of their crops, and they're not being asked to do it, they're being pretty much told to do it. When you have farmers that are being told to slaughter their entire beef herd, when you have farmers that are being told to slaughter their entire pork herd, when you have farmers being told to get rid of all of their poultry, when you have these plants being destroyed, look, right now, what is someone like Bill Gates pushing? Artificial meat, GMOs. This is a mechanism that is going right along with a financial collapse, a food collapse, a sociological collapse, an educational collapse. You listened to the show I did last week while you were gone. I went over all of this in detail. The food issue plays right into it, because if I can sit at home and be comfortable and get fat every day, I might not care about some of the rest of that stuff. But if I have to stand in line like they were doing in the Soviet Union for 6 to 8 hours to get enough food to feed my family for 1 or 2 days, and if there's even anything left when I get to the front of the line, I'm going to take a whole lot more notice. What we are looking at is a programmed destruction of the food industry and the food reserves in this country. The same thing that happened when Joe Bob got into office and cut off the pipeline and stopped any oil extraction or new drilling on any lands he had control over. This is all part of the same mechanism. But I can live without gas, but I can't live without food. And what is going to cause the most pain of all of these mechanisms in this country? It's going to be the lack of food. Right now we have companies, CEOs of companies that own grocery store chains across the entire country screaming, it's coming and it won't be pretty.
I'm hearing that the food prices will double.
I'm hearing
before
4 to 5 times
the beginning of the next year.
Oh, yeah, maybe. But I'm looking at, I know people that are looking at anywhere between 400 to 500% increase.
And you thin out a herd. You thin out a herd of cattle. You thin out a big pig farm. You can't reproduce very quickly.
Nope.
It takes a certain amount of time.
Yep.
And that's one of the main things that are being done with those herds. And so...
But if you've got to rely on the elites and their imitation lab-grown meat and things like this, now you are exactly where they want you to be. You are sitting at their mercy. You will get meat when we tell you you can have meat, and it will be what we grow for you. We already know GMOs have the ability to sterilize us, have the ability to make us sick, have the ability to increase cancer. What's their meat going to do? But if that's all you've got to eat, how many people are going to eat it, John?
If that's all you have to eat, you're going to eat something.
Yep.
You're going to eat something. All right. So I am, and that's one of the points that I wanted to hit that you brought up last week. How do you get control of people? So, Klaus Schwab, you will own nothing and you will be happy. How does that happen? Well, I'm going to go with, and you went through your list. Let me kind of get my top points that I think the way you do that. First of all, you have to demoralize the society. You have to be able to convince a large group of people that a man is a woman. And a woman can be a man, that men can have babies, and women can be fathers. I'm sorry, you can't do it. Now, I understand that a situation where a mother may have to take the place of a father to some extent, but sorry, men can't have babies, bottom line. Then, so that is the demoralizing, and you take God out of the most religious country ever to exist, with the exception of maybe Israel at one point in time. Not the current Israel, right, but way back when Moses brought them across, right?
Yep.
The most religious group of people there ever was, probably, but definitely since the time of Christ, the most religious country there ever was is right here in the United States. You destroy them morally. Then you destroy them through education. Then you destroy their governance, because if you can take away their morality and you can educate them properly, you can totally destroy their governance. Look at Joe Biden. And I want to, and there's so many points to what's going on with the current occupier of the White House. And yes, I do use the term occupier. He didn't win that election. I'm totally convinced that he didn't. And I think there's pretty darn good proof that if you're willing to look at it. Now, it's being hidden. It's being hidden from the American public. So I would say that that's exactly where I start. Now, we can get into all the other things you mentioned, the morality.
Because you hit the nail right on the head.
But you start with those three things, you've got it.
The topics you brought up are the umbrella that all the rest of them fall under. So you're absolutely right. And you pretty much covered the whole ballywhack. Everything else is a sub part of those three major topics. But I want to slide back just a little bit, because I know we're going to run out of time here pretty quick, and talk about the occupier of the White House. I need to ask everybody out there listening, and I asked you this last week, I'm going to ask you in a slightly different fashion today. I want you to stop and consider all of the absolute and irreparable damage being done with an open southern border. All of the governors across the country, 80% of the population riling against this, and Joe Bob continues it pretty much unabated. Now, you stop and consider that. You stop and consider the fact that he pulled out of Afghanistan. There are still thousands of Americans in Afghanistan. Who's talking about that? Nobody.
Nobody.
And now I could go on and on. Today, what we have is in this globe is our enemies are smiling at us, and our allies don't even want to talk to us.
Okay.
This is the first time in history something on this level has happened. But if you're going to take the Cowboys of the world to their knees, you have to isolate them. Joe Bob has done more to isolate America in less than 2 years than any president in our history. Do you think that's an accident?
No, not at all. So I asked you this off air based on that comment and based the way you posed that question last week. My thought was that came to my mind, who can trust us more, our allies or our enemies?
Now, that's a beautiful question, because what we are looking at, and I dare anybody to prove me wrong, I dare you to prove me wrong, we are looking at a compromised president. If this was Trump, he would have not only been removed from office, but he would be in prison for treason. What we are looking at...
What's that? He might be hanging from a rope.
Yeah. What we are looking at is a president who is in bed with his son, and I'm not talking about sexually, in bed with his son, and is literally compromised... literally compromised by Russia, those who run Ukraine, I didn't say the president of Ukraine, he's a puppet, and China. We're talking about a president who literally, they have the goods on. They do. It has already been told to us by the Russians and the Chinese that they have a full copy of Hunter Biden's laptop. Whoa! We've already been told that the amount of information and the type of information on that laptop is absolutely amazingly... You know, it should have Joe Bob not only not in the White House, but in prison. Stop and consider what I just said. He made it into the White House, which means that we are looking at U.S. intel organizations that are corrupt or treasonous. We are looking at Democrats and some rhinos that are corrupt, if not treasonous. We are looking at those who command us or command over us in their eyes as being treasonous. What we are looking at right now is the United States intentionally, they're trying to destroy the United States. It's not a joke. It's not an overstatement. Joe Bob is in the White House because in order to destroy America as fast as we see it being destroyed, they needed a total puppet and somebody who was totally compromised. Who else would they put there?
Well, let me say this. Uh-oh. Can you hear me, Roger?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I wasn't sure if my line just cut off. Okay, so here is why I think they have him in and why I think this is going on. Other than just the fact they needed to remove Trump because he was moving the nation in too good of a...
Yes.
In too good of emotion, you know, he was heading it in the right direction way too well. Here is the reason why they have Joe Bob. They want to be able to. So most people that I talk to are really angry with Joe Bob and are starting to get angry with the Democrats. Why won't they remove this man that is obviously not there? I have family members that have lost their mental facilities due to dementia. I saw that back before he was even put into office that was coming down the tracks. He was well into dementia. Why are they making it in front of us? Because they want us to. Some people are going to divert their anger just to the fact that he is still in office. He's allowed to be in office. That Camilla is not willing to remove him, that they're not willing to remove him. But then there's people like you and I that understand, okay, all presidents are controlled on a major level.
Yes.
The information going to them is controlled very much. That's how you can control a president. If you give him the wrong if you don't give him the correct information, he can't make correct decisions. I think that's very much what happens.
Or if you give him the correct information, but not all of it.
That's okay. But that's still not giving them not giving them the whole information.
Yes.
The whole correct information. Yes. I think that's very much what happened with Trump.
Yes.
But you know, when you have the Cheneys, the Kissingers in the executive branch,
The rhinos.
The question that is not as well known now by people like you and I, who's really the puppet string pullers? It's hard to know, but we know it's not Kamala Harris. We know that it's not Joe Bob. We know that it's not Joe Bob's wife. Someone's pulling those strings. Someone's trying to make those decisions. And so it's really hard for us to go and get frustrated in any one particular person. Then on top of that, the Democrat Party is never going to impeach their own. The Republican Party will. But the Democrat Party will never impeach their own. They may have them removed from office. But we have Nancy Pelosi that is just as senile, or almost as senile, as Joe Bob is. So I really think they're doing this to let us know you have no control, to give us the feeling of people like you and I, or at least more along our lines of thought process, you have no control.
You asked me who is in control. I can tell you the people who run two organizations on this planet are in control. I can tell you that Vanguard Group and BlackRock own 90% of every single company on the Fortune 500 listing. They own 90% of the real commerce on the entire planet.
Okay, let's finish up that on the other side.
I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. The U.S. Constitution is remarkable in many ways. In about 4,500 words on four pages of parchment, 55 men outlined a new form of government, the three branches, the powers of each, the people who will hold office, how they become office holders, and so much more. 22 of those men, or 40%, were lawyers. They chose not to obfuscate the document with legalese and pages of clauses and conditions. They chose to write a document in language simple enough that we, the people, can read it and understand it. That was probably the last time a lawyer ever wrote anything so simple. It was definitely the last time our federal government wrote anything with the understanding of we, the people, in mind. Everything that comes out of Washington, D.C. today is so convoluted that even the original intent is lost. Until tomorrow, civis pacem, parabellum.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
All
All right, let's get to it. I'd like to let this play, but we don't have much time. So there's a couple things that I want. Let me talk. Just mention what I'm going to talk a little bit about on the other side of the next hour, into the next hour. I'm going to talk about the Republican convention, state Republican convention here in Utah, and why it actually made me extremely happy. I have some really good feelings on the way at least parts of this nation are heading. I'll give more information why. Bottom line is Mitt Romney did not show up to the Republican convention. Spencer Cox, the governor, did not show up. He sent his lieutenant female governor to say out a really nice speech, and she got booed a bunch. And I was one of the ones that were leading the boos at times. All right, but let's get back to what we were finishing up. So you were saying Vanguard, BlackRock, the people at the very top, those are some of the people that are controlling what's going on in the country.
Not some. Those are the people who are controlling the global finances. They control the ebb and flow of money across this entire planet. When you literally own, when those two organizations own and you run those organizations, 90% of all of the companies on the Standard & Poor's 500, which is the biggest exchange on the planet, what you are talking about is those who influence what all of these companies will do. It stopped being about money about 10 years ago.
Okay,
it
John,
really went into overdrive about 2 or 3 years ago.
Roger, John would have loved a conversation that I had with this, our state treasurer. It was on the airwaves when he said this. He goes, so who's the families, the controlling families that control the money for BlackRock and Vanguard? He goes, those are the ones that are really in power.
Oh, yeah. The Rothschilds, Rockefellers.
Yes.
And there's a list about a dozen families. If anybody tried to figure out what the Rothschilds are worth, don't talk about billions. Talk about trillions. Their assets, the entire family globally, if everything was added into the slice, there are some who estimate it could exceed $4 trillion.
Yes.
That is more than the gross national product of most countries on the planet easily.
I would bet that they're, I bet that those money, well, let's not go down that path any further. But so those are the people that are in control, and they're the ones that, so you're right, the BlackRocks, the Vanguards, those are the people that are really trying to pull on the puppet strings of Joe Biden. And they're the ones that make sure that Joe Biden's group and whoever is running that group, they're the ones that are talking to them how you pull the strings.
Oh, they are. They actually are.
Okay, and let's get to TLB talk because we are almost out of time. We probably have about a minute left. So,
all right. TLB Talk is a social media platform where you can go and talk about these things, where you can go and talk about vaccines, where you can go and talk about health issues that nobody else is going to let you talk about. But Tom was on this show, and let me tell everybody a little bit more about Tom. Tom D was trusted by John that when John passed, he left the word, if anything happens to me, Tom D should administrate this project, which is pretty much what he's doing. He also administrates, because I asked him to, TLB Project. Tom D's good people.
Roger, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Have a good day.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.